David Hawkings is senior editor of CQ and Roll Call and author of Hawkings Here, blog and column. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995, which seems like yesterday to me, David. Welcome.
Nice to be back with you, Alan.
Tell me, winners and losers, the great shutdown.
So my take on this was everybody's a winner and a loser equally, that this will be so that by the time this our little conversation airs, it will have been forgotten and replaced by other much more dramatic things. Of course, you know, the Trump presidency has been all about huge news stories, been being overtaken by other huge news stories practically before you can catch your breath. I think so long as they keep the government open in, you know, another couple of weeks when this latest can kick is concluded, that there'll be ultimately, nobody will pay any price at the midterms.
Okay, I hear you, but the newspapers are writing columns about the Democrats blinked, Chuck Schumer, they're mad at Chuck Schumer, the left of his party is mad at him. How much of that should we take to the bank?
I think that's true. I mean, I think there was some disagreement with Schumer about whether they caved too soon, they blinked too soon. It was interesting to me, and I'm sure you noticed this too, that of the 15 senators that went against Chuck Schumer and voted against reopening the government were all five of the Democrats who were on everybody's list of senators who might run for president in 2020. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, and Cory Booker. So there you go. They all voted against Schumer. They all took the more hardline appeal to the base, take a stand, you know, that whole position. So yes, I think he took a little bit on the chin from his own side. But if in the end they get the immigration bill that they bargained away the shutdown for, then all of that will be easily forgotten.
And do you expect that they will get that win?
I don't know. I think they will probably get something through the Senate in the next 3 or 4 weeks that makes the Democrats happy, that makes the Dreamers, that would make the people who are actually the actual hundreds of thousands of people who are actually be affected by this, that would in theory make them happy. Will the Senate, would the House go along with that? I don't know. Will President Trump step in and press the House to go along with that? I don't know. Many variables.
So Schumer, of course, could be the big winner, if you think about this for a second, David, if he's able to elect a Democratic Senate. And he would be able to elect a Democratic Senate, I think, because he felt that the shutdown was so unpopular that he was going to lose some of his defending 10 major senators.
That is true. That's right. So there are to remind, which I have to remind myself of this every day, that there are 10 Democratic senators running for re-election in Trump states and in states that Donald Trump carried. They are generally the most, by no surprise here, they're generally the most conservative or at least centrist Democratic senators that there are. And yes, Schumer concluded that this was going to make their lives potentially very difficult just when it has appeared, that there are some scenarios in which all 10 of those could win. And, of course, if Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have a hope of taking their minority from 49 seats in the minority to 51 seats in the majority, the only plausible way they do that is by holding all of their own, which means reelecting those 10, and then taking 2 seats away from the Republicans, probably the one, Dean Heller, the Republican in Nevada, and the open seat in Arizona that Mr. Jeff Flake is vacating.
And here you are. We are so lucky to have you. Senior editor of CQ and Roll Call and author of The Hawkings Here, a blog and column. I'm setting you up, of course, to tell me what is going to happen.
What do I think is going to happen? I think that that's a long shot. I'm not much for poker, so it's, you know, the old cliche about drawing the inside straight. Is it possible? Sure, right? I mean, there are certainly some scenarios by which the president remains so minimally popular or even less popular by November that all 10 of those Trump state Democrats are reelected. And the Nevada seat and the Arizona open seat flip as well. Sure, that's possible. I think it's much less likely than what looks to be happening in the House, where I think you'd probably, I guess if you had to lay odds on it, it would be, or give a percentage shot, maybe a 55% chance.
Of the Democrats taking.
That the Democrats could take the House back, which means taking away 24 seats. That's not an enormous number of seats to win. Especially when you realize that they're starting with trying to take away from the Republicans 23 districts that Hillary Clinton carried and currently have a Republican member. So that's if they do pretty well there, then they only got a few more to get elsewhere.
So what does the Alabama special election tell us about chances?
Not much, I think. Not much.
I agree.
I think there are only going to be so many. There are only going to be so many elections where you have somebody with Roy Moore's, profound flaws, to say it as politely as possible. It'll be interesting to see. Doug Jones now has this seat for 2 years. He has already positioned himself as one of the most conservative members, even on the shutdown vote. On Friday night, when the Senate did cast the vote that led to the shutdown. There were five Democrats that broke with Schumer then to vote to keep the government open, where Schumer was saying, no, don't give the Republicans the votes to keep the government open. Doug Jones was one of those five. So even though he's not immediately on the ballot and could, in theory, have been willing to give his vote to Schumer in a tough situation like that, in a party loyalty situation like that, he did not. So it does make you think. That Doug Jones is going to there's sort of two ways Doug Jones can play his 2 year career in the Senate, which is try and be very centrist and conservative, sort of an old fashioned blue dog Democrat, in hopes that when he's running for re-election on the same day, presumably Donald Trump is running for re-election, that will see him through. Or he could just say, to heck with it, I'm going to be a loyal mainstream Democrat and have fun for 2 years and go down, with my ideological pride on, but not really make a true run for re-election.
But it doesn't look like that's what he's going to do. Looks like he's going to be the blue dog.
He's going to be that blue dog guy. But the casting his first really high-profile vote in favor of doing what the Republicans wanted was a signal of that.
Okay, I only got a minute, but I want to ask you about this. Who gets the blame for this shutdown?
Who gets the blame? They all get some blame. I mean, some would say, Trump chose to make this the first time in his presidency that he decided to stay quiet after setting the place on fire. Then he goes into radio silence. So he's the country elected as the business tycoon deal maker who sat this one out. We have the Republicans. He's part of an all Republican government. For the first time in 12 years, and you'd think that an all-Republican government could at least agree within itself to keep the government open, and they didn't. And then you have the Democrats, who, for reasons we just discussed, could be fairly blamed for being petulant and drawing a line in the sand about something that, while important, was not directly related to the business at hand, which was keeping the government open, and it was the wrong time to make that stand.
Always love to talk to David Hawkins, who is senior editor of Congressional Quarterly, The Bible of Congress, and Roll Call, and the author of Hawkins Here blog and column. David, always love to talk to you, and when we come back the next time, I got a series of very important questions to ask you.
Can't wait.